another episode of the Long Distance Friends podcast. My name is Liv.
How are you this week?
How are we? How we doing?
Some thoughts. Okay. First and foremost, if you can't see this, let me tell you what this is. This is the Trophe lip oil. All right. Right now, this is the coconut. Gorgeous.
Amazing.
It holds so much product. Like, that is the one thing I will say about this Doe Foot, is the way that it's made reminds me of, I forget what the brand was, but like, it holds, it has like a little divot in it, so it holds the product in, so you can actually get like a good amount on your lips, right? Oh, gorgeous. I'm gonna have to buy 3 more of these coconuts, because I'm probably gonna go through this in like a week, because I have so many important things to tell you about. But today's episode is brought to you by Trophe Lip Oil. Go buy it in the TikTok shop, okay? We also have the wine color. It doesn't go with my outfit right now, but one of these days I will wear it in here and show it for you all. I really can't get over it. The packaging is so cute. We've got the box. We've got the little Trophe logo. We've got the little Trophe on the lip oil. I will be bringing this on a date with me. Spoiler alert. Info coming soon. We'll see how it goes. I am back on the apps, and I feel like over the course of recording, you'll hear this so many times. Review of the Trophe lip oil. So silky, so smooth. My lips feel so juicy and kissable, right? I look so juicy and kissable, right? I love it. I like the applicator. I like the design. I like the feel. I think the most important thing is I like the feel of the lip oil itself, because the NYX Fat Lip Drip Oil, that was the first one I tried. And I was like, I love it. I love it. I love it. And I was like, it got gummy. Like, it felt really gummy and sticky on my lips. And I didn't like that. And then I love the e.l.f. lip oil. And this one is thicker than the e.l.f. lip oil, but thinner than the NYX. And like, the lip oil, the e.l.f. lip oil is thinner, but it is a little, it has a little stickiness. And this one, like, it feels like it's nourishing my lips in a way. Like, it feels like it's keeping my lips moisturized, not just like glossy. And I think that's the biggest difference that I will give it. So I love it. And it looks gorgeous. So gorgeous, gorgeous girl. Thank you for joining us last week. I hope you had so much fun. I had fun with the girl talk, because it was me and bestie Dana. If you didn't like that episode, that's tough. We had so much fun. If you haven't heard it, go listen to it. It was just girl talk. And like, I think it's so cathartic to like have that type of like girl talk relationship with your friends. I think it's so important. And I think it's like, it is one of the factors as to why I was like, oh, this would be a fun platform of like kind of showcasing that and like bringing that to people. And like, I hope that I give that energy of like, if you're listening, we're having just like silly, goofy girl talk, right? I do have to pause this though, so that I can charge my phone, because I didn't get to my list last week and it's grown. It's gotten bigger. Hit me, baby, one more time. Oh, I'm going to love to see that when I edit. Okay, I'm back. I will say, I got made fun of for this pretty recently, and like, rightfully so. When I drink out of my lovely, lovely cup here, I usually have lip gloss on, and I don't like the feel of lip gloss on my straw. So I go like that. It was so gross. I like wrap my tongue around the straw, and I like, I'm so sorry, but I might keep that noise in there. And I like, in order to get it in my mouth and not get lip gloss all over it. And I know that I look ridiculous, but guess what? I don't care. I'm staying hydrated. Because to be a good trophy wife, you got to be hydrated and wear your ultra hydrating Trophe lip oil. So we are recording. It is late in the eve. It is Friday night. I don't usually tell you what day I'm recording. I used to record on Tuesdays, and then I started recording on Wednesdays. And then I started recording on Saturdays, and now I just record whenever the fuck I can. But it's usually towards the end of the week. And I'm going to probably record Sunday again, or maybe Monday next week. But I want to go through the list that I didn't read last week. And also, I briefly teased, I'm back on dating apps. I am going on my first date in like 6 months tomorrow, and I'm a little nervous. I am a little nervous because it's been a while. I'm a little nervous because he's way older than me. I'm a little nervous because he didn't tell me what his profession was until a couple hours ago. And I'm like, so the cop is his name and is taking me out tomorrow.
Are you throwing up?
Then he's not throwing up. Okay, so where was I? So I'm going on a date. I have a police officer that is taking me on a date. And that feels really weird. If you know anything about me, you know that I am not a huge fan of cops. They make me incredibly nervous. I think they're a little unpredictable. I think statistically, there are certain professions that are more likely to beat their wives. And so I tend to stay away from them. And I had already committed to the date, right? I had already said, okay, sure, I'm interested. I'll let this person take me on a date. And it wasn't until after I had like confirmed it that I was like, oh, hey, like, by the way, what do you do? Because like, I have it on my profile, right? I'm like silly, goofy podcaster lady. And I'm just curious, you know, like not that it, and I was like, not that it makes a difference, but like, I'm just curious because I don't know. And he was like, oh, like, yeah, I'm, you know, in law enforcement. And I said, like cop or like lawyer. And he said, like cop. And I said, oof, okay. And he said, does that mean that we are no longer on for tomorrow? And I said, I have already committed, so I am down to go. But like, okay. We'll go. We'll have a nice time. I don't know if it's going to go any further than maybe one, two dates, but I'll go on a first date. And that was something I was talking to a friend of mine about, of like, I keep going on like a first date. And then I'm like, I guess I'm just seeing this person now instead of being like, I'm going to go on a lot of first dates, right? I'm going to meet a lot of people. I'm just going to like go out and practice being entertained by people and like being in those settings, because I'm not going to get comfortable in those settings until I put myself in them. And I don't like putting myself in them because they're scary. And it's like the thought of dating honestly kind of sucks. You know, like ideally it's great, but you're thinking of it with the right person, and like having to go through a lot of people that aren't your person sucks. And there's no way to sugarcoat that, of like, it's not fun to actively be dating a lot of people and going, okay, like this was fun, but like, you're just not it. And like, it is work. It is a lot of like time. And so like having to be like, okay, so now I'm going to plan out a part of my day that I'm going to go do something. I'm going to plan the outfit. I have to like look a certain way. I need to like do certain things. I'm probably going to wear my Trove leggings and a tank top because it's going to be hot as shit tomorrow. It is what it is. But then in looking at that, I'm like, okay, well, if I'm going to do that, that means I got to like do this. I got to do that. I got to wash my hair. I got to do this. And it's work, you know, it's work. And it's looking at someone and going, okay, this probably is not going to be my person, right? We know this because I'm going to meet my man traveling. We've talked about this. And I don't know. I have to practice though. I have to get out there, and it's good for me to get the experience. I am a little intimidated by the whole him being well over a decade older than me. Because the last time I went on a date with someone that was that much older than me, it was never, but I was seeing someone that was that much older than me. So that's where I'm at. Hold on 1 second. Let me pull up my list. Pro tip for the ladies though. And I will say this, make a Google voice number. Don't give a person who you're going on a first date with your actual phone number. I think it's really important in order to keep ourselves safe to use a number that's not your actual number. You know, the last guy I dated, I waited like a month. We'd been on 3-4 dates before I was like, here's my actual phone number. Like our first date, he was like, you have an iPhone? And I was like, yeah, why? And he was like, why are my texts working? And I was like, oh, you don't get my phone number. Like, that's not a thing that you get to have until I deem you worthy. You know, like you get my phone number, you're going to start seeing my social media, and I don't need that. All right. I talk shit on the internet. I don't need you to see that. No, thank you. Okay. So make a separate phone number. So that way they don't see all of your life. Okay. So I love Mel Brooks. I love movies. I love Mel Brooks as a director. I rewatched the Mel Brooks like documentary that he has. It's on Peacock. I highly recommend it. It's a really good movie just to watch about his career and his life And I really have enjoyed what he did with comedy and with film, and how he was able to really connect audiences over just silliness. And what I really enjoy about watching it is, like, he's just so relentlessly like, well, I'm just going to do what I think is funny. Like, I'm going to do things that bring me joy that I want to see. And, like, if that's what, like, I don't, specifically his quote was, I don't really care what the audience wants. I do it for me, and the audience usually joins me. And I think that that's a profound thing when we talk about, like, is art self-serving or is it for other people? And being like, art is self-serving, you know, like, having a platform and being a creative person, like, you are doing that for you, and it builds community. It makes people feel, it connects society, but you're not doing it for society. You are doing it, and society is saying, I want to be part of that, you know? And so I really enjoy that Mel Brooks is so open and honest with that, of like, I have always done what I wanted to do. I have always done what I felt passionate about. And because I felt passionate about it, it made it so much better. And I think it's so important that we learn to lean into our passions. You know, when we're passionate about something, our work is better. So I really enjoyed that. I do love Mel Brooks movies. Second thing on the list, I want to talk about regifting. And I know that this might be an unpopular opinion. I think regifting is okay. And I know that somebody's going to pop off in the comments and say, it's not okay. You're entitled to your opinion, babe. You absolutely are. You don't have to be right, but I'm glad that you have an opinion. So I just, sometimes I need a platform. I need a channel for, like, the cuntiest things I can say. And this is it. I'm talking to no one. Like, I'm talking to myself. I'm looking at my reflection, and that's who I'm talking to. I'm staring into my light bulb that's going to burn my fucking retinas. And I'm like, babe, I'm so glad that you have an opinion, but I don't give a fuck, you know? So regifting, when I was a kid, I don't know if anyone else had this experience, but when I was a kid, in our laundry room, we had a big plastic storage tub, and it just had a bunch of shit in it. And anytime that we were, like, going to a friend's birthday party, or we were, like, doing whatever, my dad would be like, grab a gift out of the box. And it was a box full of, like, gifts to give people. Like, there was kid stuff, and then there was adult stuff. And I didn't really realize this until later, but it was like, when they would receive gifts, if it wasn't personalized and it didn't have, like, specific value and meaning and writing or whatever, if they were like, this is lovely, but we are not going to use this, it went into the tub, and then it would get regifted. And I don't know, I guess it never occurred to me that, like, other people didn't have that. I was just like, oh, you know, the gift box that everybody has, that when you have a birthday party, you just go grab something out of the gift box. Other people didn't have that. I told a buddy of mine about it, and I was like, is it okay to regift things? And he was like, well, I think it depends, you know, like, why are you regifting it? Who gave it to you? Like, what is the purpose? And it was like, well, like, I was given something, right, by someone who is not going to find out. Also, it had no emotional value between myself and the people that gave it to me, right? And it was something that, like, I already have. So because I already have it, if I want to give it to somebody else, does that make it fine? Or is it like, no, you, if someone gives you something, you have to keep that something, even though I don't need it. And I know someone who would appreciate and value it. So let me know what you think. I think that regifting is fine. I think regifting is fine as long as you don't give the person who gave it to you the thing. And if you do, oh, you better play that off so fucking hard. Of like, I loved it so much, I wanted to make sure you had one. You're so fucking on thin water there. And if it has emotional, sentimental value to the person gifting it, I think it's a bad idea to regift. So, quiet on set, the Nickelodeon expose. I do want to talk about Quiet on Set. So, like, as a kid, I really wanted to be a child star. I mean, I was like, I would be so good at it. Like, I love this. I love theater. I want to entertain people. I want to be an entertainer. I think ever since I was a little girl, I was like, I think that I'm meant to be a star. I think I'm meant to entertain people. I think I'm meant to perform. And, you know, my parents were like, yeah, no. And I was like, you guys don't believe in me. You guys are selfish, right? Like every fucking teenager and child then, you know, experiences. And, you know, as I got older, I was like, oh, we can't afford to like try. And that was how it was explained of like paying for the services in order to like put you into things we can't afford, but we can afford to put you in like theater classes. And then it was like, well, theater classes are expensive. And like, do you know how much money we've spent on you? And I was like, all right, well, just take me out of the fucking classes then. But quiet on set, you know, the dark side of children's television, we've all known, you know, we all knew that shady shit was happening. We all knew that it was sad and dangerous, and that the kids that were performing on these shows over the past years, it's come out a lot about what they've experienced. And so to get to actually see the people that were adults on the show who were saying even the adults were treated like this, you know, it was primarily women who were preyed upon and who were treated unfairly in the workplace, who were forced to share a salary, which is illegal for two of the female writers. One of the female writers was forced to act out really dehumanizing acts while they were pitching a scene, and that Dan Schneider was, you know, like, I want you to do this and I want you to pretend that this is what's happening while you do it. And that, you know, at first it was like, oh, it's kind of a joke. And then it was like, no, it's not a fucking joke. Do it. No, I expect you to do it and I'm going to laugh. And she was like, and I did it. And she was like, I feel humiliated that I did it. But like, what else was I going to do? Right. And it just, oh, the way that like it gave such a pit in my heart and my stomach watching it. And just, you know, there was a couple things that really stood out to me. One, you know, I really want to applaud Drake Bell for having the courage to come forward as an adult and share his experiences and his story, because that is so hard to do. And to be a child who experiences sexual violence at a young age, especially from an adult who you trust or you know, is really just, God, it, I don't even know how to put it into words. You know, it's one of those things that I don't think there are proper words for. And I applaud him for speaking out on it, because when we speak out and when we speak up, we're able to be informed and prevent it from happening in the future. And so I think it's great that he was able to do that. I think her name's Nicole, the actress from Zoe 101, who has like all the podcasts that are like exposés of how different child TV and media production companies have mistreated their children that are involved in their productions. You know, she's been on that soapbox for years. And, you know, especially now that she has children, she's like, I couldn't imagine being a parent and having my child have this happen. And I'm sorry, it's always when I'm in the middle of like the most serious topics that these cats come in, and they're like he fully was just like limping and was licking the one paw and stood up with it like this. And I'm like, did you break it? Did you step on something? What's going on? And I touch it. And he's like, as I'm like in the middle of vulnerability here. Yeah. So quiet on set, definitely watch with warning. You know, it is covering a lot of really serious, really heavy topics that relate to child sex abuse, so on and so forth. And it's not for the faint of heart. It really is not. And my heart goes out to anyone that is an adult trying to heal from experiences like that, and children going through experiences like that. My hope for this world is that we are able to protect women, men, and children from people who are predators. You know, it is my hope for this world that the abuse of children ceases. You know, I hope that children are respected and revered with the respect that they deserve, because children are, you know, we hear people talk about children, oh, babies are blessings, but they're not treated as such. You know, that a pregnancy is treated as like, oh my God, you are the most special thing in the world. And then the minute you have a child, people cease to care, and misuse and maltreatment of children and young people is so rampant in today's society. And it does break my heart. I swear to God, if you eat this wallpaper, if you're watching on YouTube, he's in the corner pawing at the desk. So at the chair, not the desk. So yeah, I just, you know, I watched it. I thought it was great. I thought it was very eye-opening. I am very grateful for every single person who participated in the production of that documentary, docuseries. And, you know, my heart goes out to anyone that is experiencing those things right now or has experienced, you know, themes related to what were discussed in that show, because I know that for an entire generation, it was way more prevalent than any other generation. And I think this show did create a good discourse of, like, you know, was this generation that grew up on this type of media predisposed to certain behaviors? Was it priming us to be more susceptible to it? Because, you know, is it just that we as a collective are talking about it more, of being, you know, as children encountering these really adult engagements and relationships and treatments by people? Were we improperly pursued by people more so than any other generation? Was it that we were primed to, you know, see a representation in media that was more adult-like and sexualized? And, you know, I don't even know the words, you know, I really don't have the words. And I think that it definitely may have had an effect. You know, I think back on it, and, you know, they talked about, like, the clothing of, like, at 12 years old, why was I wearing the shortest shorts possible and the tiniest tank tops possible? And in my head, I was like, well, that's what everybody was wearing. But is that because we were influenced by the media, or is it because that was just how styles changed? And then I think of now how, you know, God, Eleanor, the toddler on TikTok, whose mother has a whole account for her daughter and posts the, like, videos of how grandma dresses me versus how mom dresses me. And I'm like, she's being dressed like how I, as a kid, thought girls in their 20s were dressing. And then the mom would be like, and my, like, grandma posts her like this. And it's like the way that she poses in it, where, like, she's in the clothes that grandma picks out, which is age appropriate. And she's, like, happy and dancing. And then, you know, the clothes mom wants her to wear, and she's, you know, puffing out her chest and, like, just, like, posing, you know, we're taking photos. And it's like, it feels wrong, and it feels sad to see. And the mother ended up posting a video of, like, you know, the FBI told me that my daughter's videos aren't on child predator websites. And a lot of people really spoke up about, like, correct, they don't have to be, because you are putting them on the internet so that, like, you're putting them in an easily accessible place, so they're not having to go to those other places to access it. And I'm really excited for the future of media legislation. I think the TikTok ban is bullshit. I want to put that out there. I think that's fucking absolutely stupid. But I think if it were, hey, we're going to say, we're going to block, if you post a child that appears to be under the age of 5, under the age of 13, honestly, under the age of 14, 15, 16, you know, if this child appears to be underage, their content's getting removed. I would be so aligned with that. I guess that's enough of that topic. I'll move on. We'll talk about this on a different day. I'm going to move that to the bottom because I need a whole episode for that. As we've discussed, I am on the dating apps, and I have seen, oh boy, a variety. It's been 2 weeks. I am currently using Bumble. I know previously I was using Hinge, and it was fine. It was fine, but I just was not loving the selection that I was receiving. And I didn't like that it was learning who I would want and was actively saying, if you want the people we think you want to fuck, pay me. No, absolutely not. It's not happening. No, thanks. I will swipe through everybody in a 26-mile range from me before I pay for shit. Okay. I say that, watch, next week I'm going to be like, so I'm paying for Bumble Premium so that I can see who likes me. I had 2 matches that expired. I had one expire because I didn't get a notification that I had a new match. Knife to the heart. Knife to the fucking heart. He was so cute. He was so cute. And I was like, oh, Tyler, you're so handsome. His name wasn't Tyler. I don't know what it was. He looks like a Tyler. They're just average dude. He was so handsome. I probably wouldn't have gotten along with him or had anything in common with him, but he was handsome. I would have liked to have proven it to myself. And then another one, I saw the match. Let me tell you about this guy. This guy who, again, knife to the chest. I've sent my friends like screenshots of the guys I've matched with. And they're like, I really want to say that you have a type, but like, what the fuck? Like, what do you mean? They're like, there's no correlation here. None. And I'm like, that is correct. That is correct. And I know what my type is. And none of them fit the type that I'm like, you know who I want to marry? You know who I know is made for me? Doesn't look like any of the guys that I'm swiping on, right? I'm just like, I just got to practice. You look like I would be okay with spending a couple hours with, right? This one guy who just knifed to the chest. He was 6'4", my type, tall, right? He was kind of muscly. He wasn't too muscly, but like you could tell that like he goes to the gym regularly. Long hair, facial hair, groomed on the sides, like just a stash in the beard. And I was like, okay, head to toe tattoos, neck tattoos, hand tattoos, arm, the whole body covered. And I was like, oh, I'm gonna fucking climb this guy like a tree. Oh my God. Oh my God. Just get over here. Just shut up and get over here. It expired. The way that I wept, the way that I said, Jesus, how could you? It hurt. It hurt me in my soul because I was like, oh, you're so sexy. So it's probably a good thing because I think if I had met that guy in person, one, I feel like his voice probably would have been like high pitched and it would have given me the ick. Oh my God, have you? Icks for me. Men with high pitched voices, I can't do it. I can't do it. Because like I have like a mid to low range voice and then sometimes I get really high and bubbly and whatever. I can't do it. I want someone that's like gruff and sexy and like, you know, I want you to sound like you've been through some shit, you know? I'm worried that the guy that I'm like, oh, he was so sexy. He probably had so many things that would have icked me out. I'm like, and I never got the chance to get icked out by this guy. Damn. Darn it. But I thought he would have been fun. And I'm just kind of at that point where I'm like, you look like you would have been fun. But what I hate on these apps is when I see someone whose profile says, I don't know how to use these. You don't know how to swipe left or right. Self-explanatory. And then you just text. That's it. I don't know what I'm doing here. Then leave. Like, easy fix. I don't know how to work this. Then delete it. Okay? Like, they give you a tutorial. If you can't figure it out, oh, so you is stupid is what I hear. Not a big bio guy. Message me to learn about me. I guess you'll, like, the people whose bios say, not a big bio guy, if you want, like, actually get to know me. Like, message me if you really want to get to know me. Can you tell me if I even want to bother? Like, I like socks. Okay, what kind of socks do you like? I like no-show. It gives me something to talk about. If you're giving me literally nothing and then you're like, I hate small talk. My brother in Christ, you've given me nothing to start on. Okay, because I try to have witty prompts, you know? Tattoo man, I was like, ballpark. How many hours has that taken? What's another one? What's another good one that I've done? Oh my God, I have gotten unmatched, guys. I've gotten unmatched by my first person. You want to know why? Because I got too close, okay? You want to know what I'm really good at? I'm really good at just therapizing men. And then they're like, I got to get out of here. And I'm like, yeah, you probably should. And no, I just like said the weird thing. And he was like, got a blast. I was like, not my fault, you're fucking lame, right? Let's see. I matched with one guy because he had Matt Rife on his profile. And I said, is that Matt Rife? He said, it sure is. He was randomly at my gym. And I said, that's wild. Isn't he one of the world's most hated men? And he said, that's the wild statement. And I said, didn't he say wildly misogynistic things on a Netflix special? He hasn't responded. It's been 2 days. Like, oh, I just think it's funny that you're like the misogynist. One of my favorite intros is I will comment on someone and say, you give borderline red flag energy, and they love it. They're like, oh my God, how? Oh my God, that's crazy. What do you mean by that? And then I just roast them. I'm just like, your name is Jake. You're a Gemini. You like biking. You want to know what else I learned? Okay, so Bumble has like, what are your interests, right? And so when I first made it, I was like, oh, like I create videos, I like reading, whatever. And I was like scrolling through and I was getting more people that like make videos. And then one of them had their OnlyFans and I was like, oh my God, do they think I like making nudies? I was like, I gotta take it off. I gotta change it. I gotta switch it. Oh no. So that's how I learned that on Bumble, if you say that you like making videos, they think it means porn. It's code. It's code for OnlyFans. I don't do that. I do make my silly little TikToks though. I had one guy who he stopped messaging me because I said, not a single one of your photos looks like it was taken in the past decade. And he said, what do you mean by that? And I said, photo number 3 is most likely recent-ish, right? I said, the rest of them look like they were from high school and you're 32. And he stopped responding. And like, it's literally like a grainy, I'm gonna flash it. Whoop-a. Right? It's grainy. It's yellow. He looks nothing like he does in the other photos. His eyebrows are so bushy. You know, his balls haven't dropped. You look like you're a child in this. I don't know why we're putting your childhood photos on here when you're 32. Not a big bio guy. Out of here. Okay? Get the fuck out of here. And then I have this one dude that responded to my stuff and his whole job is maintaining grass. It's like, I'm sorry, I'm out. I don't want to sound pretentious, but like, so what do you do for work? And I'm like, oh, like this is what I do. And like, ba, 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 ba. And literally this guy was like, yeah, I do. Like he gave me this big fancy title. And I was like, I feel like this title is meant to confuse me. So can you say that again, but act like I'm a kindergartner? And he said, yeah, I manage the turf and green maintenance for this golf club. And I was like, yeah, so I think I'm out because your whole job is tending to grass. Okay. I feel like he's got to be fucking with me. Like is this a joke? Like you do more than that, right? Like he does more than that. I don't know. It's probably not going to work out. I've also like, oh my God. I keep hitting this. I'm sorry. You want to know what really irks me? I have tried to be witty. I'm so fucking funny and I give them witty little things. And when people are like, what do you mean? What is that? I'm being fucking facetious. I'm being funny. I'm being silly. If you can't like, yes, and it's not going to work. It's not going to work. You know, like I'm giving you bait to like continue the funniness and you're just like, so anyways. So yeah, so I'm back into dating. You know, I feel like a cycle. It really is. And like, I'm okay with it. You know, it ebbs and it flows and I take it as it happens. And I would like to have found the person, but we're not there yet, you know, and we have to do this in order to get there. And that's a little frustrating, but it is what it is. It's also really frustrating to be at a point where I'm like, the people who are career-wise at a similar level as to where I am are 12 years older than me, right? And then I'm like, what do I have in common with this person? You know, like I thought that the sweet spot for me was going to be 4 or 5 years older than me. And then I did that and I had someone give me feedback that I was kind of cold and communicate really well, but like they don't know what they want yet. And I was like, you're 30. You don't know what you want? Your hairline's receding. What do you mean? You know? And having to just kind of accept the fact that like, okay, so they're probably going to be older, right? I'm probably just going to have to start looking older than I thought. And I feel triggered by that. I feel a little scared by that because that's something that I had done before and I feel nervous about it. And I think there's still part of me that's like, why are you swiping on 24-year-olds? You know, what do you think you have in common with me? And then also being like, I can hold my own though. You know, I know that I'm going to meet my person in the wild. I know that an app is not how I'm going to meet the love of my life. And no shame to people who have. It's just,
I'm not able to be impressed by someone on an app. You know, I've swiped past some people that I've been like, if I saw that person in the wild, I would probably be interested in them. But because I'm seeing them here and I'm just making a snap decision, like, yeah, you haven't made the cut. So that's fine. Wish me luck. Wish me safety. Thank you for being here. I love you all. Feel free to follow us on Instagram at longdfriendspod. Email us at longdfriendspod@gmail.com. Love to hear from you. And you can follow me on TikTok while we still have it at lived, laughed, loathed. And follow my silly little life, my silly little journey. And I'm going to try to vlog this date with this guy. So that way, if he tries to kill me, we have a record. And guess what? He won't. Because my friends already know where he lives. Because women are the FBI. All it takes is a first name and a general location. All right, friends. I love you so much. Thank you for being here. Thank you for supporting me. Thank you for letting me support you. I love you. I'll see you next week. Bye.